Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Guillermo, I'm going to get so much of you today.
Yeah?
And I got so much of you yesterday. Guillermo Diaz and I got to hang out all damn day yesterday.
Yeah, that was fun.
For Access Hollywood and Entertainment Tonight. And today, me and G are going to have a quick drink or tea with the one and only Darby Stanchfield.
Yes, we are.
This podcast is such a gift because it's like having us hang out with other people.
I know, right? Like, we're forced to hang out with other people that we want to hang out with.
But unless you actually concretely make the plan.
Yeah.
I feel like since COVID, everyone's default, well, your default before COVID was, I just want to be alone in my house.
Yeah. The minute someone cancels on me, that's the happiest Guillermo Diaz will ever be when someone says, actually, I'm not going to be able to make it today. I'm like, yay. I know there's a lot of people like that out there, too.
There's so many.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone's relieved. I mean, if anyone struggles with social anxiety, you feel relief.
Of course.
But also, like, Darby, same.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the last day of shooting the pilot, and she just was like, I just want to let you all know, like, I'm not going to be around to, like, say goodbye or do hugs or, like, any of that stuff.
That's,
I find it, like,
so
wildly,
yeah,
like, I don't do it. And she just leaves, and you'll never see her again.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember that last day of shooting the show, the series? So on that last day, I mean, I was emotional, but it wasn't like, I think we had already all like said our goodbyes inside and emotionally with each other and knew it was going to happen. So it wasn't a full on like people weren't breaking down. People were just like, this is it.
It was the most magical, almost spiritual, like church-like, wherever you go to feel something that's like so much bigger than yourself.
Yeah.
Is what the last takes of Scandal felt like to me.
Uh-huh.
I'm so glad we're talking about this now because we can't wait till fucking seven seasons of the Scandal Rewatch podcast to tell you guys some of our greatest memories.
We had a big earthquake the other night. Who knows what could happen? Let's talk about it now.
So when we found out that Scandal was ending, which G has mentioned on the podcast before, I think one of the most gracious, loving things that Shonda ever gave us was that year notice, because we got a ton of goodbyes. Like our last Jimmy Kimmel, our last trip to Washington, D.C., our last writer's dinner, our last cast dinner. Like we did many final things.
Which is rare. That does not happen on TV shows.
Most of the time, your show gets fucking canceled.
And you're like,
never
see
the people again.
Yeah.
You never get closure.
Yeah.
You never get to come to peace or say goodbye to the role you're playing at all.
Mm-hmm.
But our last shot of Scandal was an OPA at, I want to say, 4 o'clock in the morning.
It was pretty early in the morning. Yeah, it was a long day.
Every single person involved with the show showed up at set. I'm talking Shonda Rhimes, Betsy Beers, every writer, Mary Howard, our line producer, every actor who wasn't in the scene. It was an OPA scene. The people in the scene were me, G, Josh, Darby, Olivia.
That's right, yeah.
And everybody else who was in the White House, Tony, Jeff, they all came. And not only that, but everyone's significant other came.
That's right.
Adam came. We had no babysitter. We had a child at the time. Albie was like fucking 4 or 5 months old.
Wow.
He showed up at set at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was like, this is it. This is going to be the end in the next hour. He's like, I'm coming. I'm not going to miss it.
Oh,
and he came and brings, I could cry. He comes, brings Albie, transfers the baby, puts him to bed in his little baby bassinet that I had had in my trailer. And we just, everyone is sitting in Video Village, which is where you're looking at the monitors, like waiting on bated breath. I mean, I have videos. We'll post them maybe during this podcast episode, but like I have videos that Adam took of like the crowd just surrounding each other and surrounding the screens.
In Video Village, which is where the director and the producers all sit and watch what's happening on set through monitors.
And Tom Verica was directing.
Yeah.
And everyone was there watching each other and being like as quiet as a mouse as like we said our last lines and rolled our last tape on this show.
We were just waiting for Tom to say, okay, that's it.
That's a wrap. That's a cut.
Ugh.
And then he would say, ooh, I get so emotional.
I know. Like, me too.
Then he was like, that's a series wrap on everybody. And then everyone refused to leave.
Yeah.
Like everyone just stayed at OPA, like hugging and toasting and like people brought in like champagnes and coffee and everyone's just like hanging out till like 6 o'clock in the morning. Like, I remember Darby and Olivia and Carrie being like, are you guys just going to go home in your costumes? Like, do we have to return these? Like, what do we do? Do we get changed? Like, what's even happening? I, like, watch the sun come up, you know, from my trailer. Like,
it was such a special day.
It was so beautiful. Like, it wasn't sad, like you were saying.
No, it wasn't.
It felt so celebratory, meaningful,
and satisfying.
Cherished.
It was just, from the moment that Shonda told us all that this was going to be the last year, we would come on set, and I feel like we would all be like, oh man, this is the last year. So we relished in those moments of just shooting every scene of every episode that we did from the moment we knew on and just enjoyed it to the fullest, right?
We really did.
We just got the most out of it. We freaking squeezed that orange.
I think also sometimes people finish series and there's like bad blood and people aren't friends anymore and people hate people, or it's just like maybe messier because working a television show is hard.
None of that ever happened with us,
No. We just remained true to ourselves and to the project and to each other. And I think we all were like respectful and loving and just like really held ourselves accountable for our behavior and our attitudes. And everybody did. This show was the
This was a jam, This was it.
And every person on the show told me, you had been on a million series, but all the older folks, Goldwyn, Melina, Jeff, Perry, Sally Langston, everybody, Bellamy,
guys,
was like, you know, this doesn't happen often. Like, this is lightning in a bottle. And I kept being like, I know. But it really was. The first series I was ever on, episode, we're in the middle of shooting episode 9, and the director's like, I'd like to call everybody to set, everybody, and we're like, weird, okay, we're like all going to set, we're shooting 9, we have like a full order, and the producers and the writers just come, and they're like all emotional, and they're like, well, today's our last day.
like, is it even going to air?
Nobody,
like, do we have to even keep shooting?
It did air, crazily, but they were like, this is it. Pack up yo shit and get the fuck out of Albuquerque. And I was like, wait, what? I was like counting on those paychecks. Oh my God.
Oh shit. And then, you know, you start a show and, you know, like for Mercy, we were up, you know, we did one season and then they added a few extra episodes and that's why we did 19. But, you know, I moved my life to New York And me and Mike were settled. Okay, we're going to be here in New York. But right, for actors, you just never freaking know. And then the show didn't get picked up. And we're like, we got to go back to LA and pick up our lives and move to a whole different state. I mean, but this happens all the time with us, right?
It happens all the time. It's constant.
Like we're like gypsies, right? Like you just never know where you're going to be for a long time.
That was the other crazy gift about Scandal, was that it shot in town.
Yeah. I live like 8 minutes away from where we shot Scandal. And so do you. Like you're super close. I used to just roll down the hill. Yeah.
Scandal shot at Sunset Gower, which is right under the Hollywood sign. I lived up the hill underneath the Hollywood sign, and I never had to put my foot on the gas to get to work. I would just roll my car like downhill, hitting the brake for like the light. I would leave 4 minutes to my call time. It was literally the greatest thing that's ever happened in my entire life.
So good.
Let's talk about episode 214.
Let's talk about it.
Yo, there's hot shit in this.
Yes. Oh my God. Katie, once again, I don't remember any of this shit.
I don't remember none of it.
I don't remember Olivia telling Fitz, I'm sorry about Defiance. I didn't remember none of that shit.
Oh my God. This episode is
so good.
Fire.
Yeah.
Episode 214 titled Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. It aired on February 14th of 2013. So happy Valentine's Day to all you gladiators that got turned on by this episode.
And it was written by Matt Byrne and directed by Mark Tinker.
It was guest starring, what? Scott Foley as Jake Ballard. This is the first episode we get the one and only Scott Foley, who I was texting with this morning. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit.
I love Scott so much.
The little farter. I love him.
Yes.
Kurt Fuller is Graydon Osborne. He was the CIA director. Amazing actor.
Yes.
Joe Holt as Secretary of Defense.
And Virginia Louise Smith as Secretary of State, J. Renee Peña as Louise, Troy Vincent as National Security Advisor.
This synopsis is insane. This is the first time that's ever happened in Scandal history where we jump at the top of this episode. We are 10 months after Verna's murder and the discovery of Defiance. Fitz is pushing everyone away. As they vie for his trust, a hostage situation arises with four American government agents abroad, and David Rosen awakens to find a dead woman in his bed.
Olivia and OPA team try to help David, who ignores their advice at almost every turn, and Cyrus and Melly are concerned for who Fitz may turn to if they don't gain back his trust.
Everything comes to a head during Cyrus's daughter's christening.
Yeah.
So we open this episode, it says 10 months later, which Scandal's never done like a time jump, and Olivia is like aggressively swimming laps in the pool, which holy shit, Kerry Washington was on the swim team in high school, which is why Shonda has Olivia swimming, and she's so fucking good at swimming.
Oh, she was so good. That's all her. Those wide shots from above are all her, right?
All her. And also, I could never pick that sport because, you know, when like you're swimming and they're shooting it. I mean, I've never shot swimming, but I could tell from this. And you're kicking your leg so much and you just see all your leg muscle and fat kind of shaking.
Oh, yeah.
But Carrie doesn't have any. It just looks fucking outstanding.
Carrie looked amazing. Like her booty. I was like, oh, my God, her legs. I was like, look how cute she looks. She looks great.
In her white. I remember.
Yeah.
I want to ask her about this when she comes on again. But like the fittings for the swimsuits, I'm sure, were like such a thing. And the swim caps.
The swim cap, because you know she couldn't have her hair in the water,
All that. Ugh, incredible. But we're jumping back and forth between Olivia swimming and at the same time, Fitz is in the shower and Melly walks up to him in this ridiculous kimono with these fucking high... No woman wears high-heeled slippers with a rope.
That was her morning shoe wear, was like the little kitten heel.
Melly does that shit. What is that? Fitz is just like, do you have it? And she's like, yes, I do, but it's 7 o'clock in the morning. And he's like, give me my fucking whiskey.
It's his whiskey. I was like, go ahead.
Now go ahead, because the girl jumps in the shower and she's about to go to bony BJ town.
Yo, this is the first time, Katie, that I was like, Fitz and Melly made sense to me. Their sexual chemistry and just chemistry altogether is so good. Uh-huh. Like, it was the first time I was like, yo, they're really hot together.
Yeah.
Those two, like, Fitz and Olivia are, of course, super sexy together, and they got all that fire between them. But Melly and Fitz, like, that shit was hot.
We always see them at odds. We don't really see them in a sexual way. But, like, I just feel like when Melly's doing this, it's, like, for such other reasons.
Oh, there's so much more attached to it. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, why are you giving this guy head?
She wants something.
This girl's a political animal.
Yeah.
Something's going on. But as she's about to go down to BJ Town, I've never called it that in my entire life until this podcast.
I love it so much. That's all we're going to call it from now on.
Down to BJ Town, and Cyrus is like, knock, knock, knock. And she's like so mortifyingly embarrassed that Fitz is not alone in this shower.
Yeah.
But Cyrus is like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Mr. and Mrs. President. But holy shit, we've got like bad. Raise the alarm sirens.
But also I was like, Melly, just stay quiet. I wouldn't have said shit. I would have stayed on my knees. I wouldn't have even stood up.
You wouldn't have even had to stop. It would have been hilarious.
Why are you stopping?
Isn't that sort of the fun of it? It's like, ooh, it's sort of sexy that like he has to try to be serious while he's like receiving such pleasure.
Yes. And Melly's face when she says, hi, Si, is so brilliant, her acting. We'll be right back, guys.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
So tell me how David Rosen wakes up in this episode.
Yo, he said, this motherfucker wakes up with a knife, a bloody knife in his hand. And then he looks over and there's a dead woman in his bed. As a huge horror fan, as everybody knows, the blood is so freaking good on this show.
Really?
That blood is so real looking, so good. And that's...
What makes the difference? What's the difference between good blood and bad blood?
Oh, man. Bad blood is just the color is completely off. Listen, I love the movie Carrie, and there are moments where the blood looks good, but there are moments like when she's in the bathtub washing the blood away that the blood does not look real.
Really?
It has like an odd like yellowish tone. And so when the blood looks bad, when it's bad, it's bad. But this, our special effects people, I think Denise did all this blood, right?
Yeah.
Denise and Sherry, who are our hair and makeup people, and they...
I texted with her today, too.
No way. But those ladies do those blood effects so, so well. It looks so good.
It looked amazing. And she's hot. That girl's so... That dead girl is so beautiful. I'm like, how...
Yeah.
First of all, David Rosen would never get this chick. So, like, obviously... She's half his age, blonde. Obviously, she's got motive.
She's cute as fuck. Yeah, yeah.
So David Rosen calls in the team, and he's like, holy shit, I don't know what's going on. And then, oh my goodness, what do we have here? But Olivia is in a coffee shop, and she whoopsie doodly dandy. She bumps into Jake Ballard.
Yeah, who is our Scott Foley? Scott Foley, y'all. Can we just say really quickly that when Scott entered our Scandal family, he entered it so gracefully and so easily. He just melded right into our vibe and our groove. And can we just say, Katie, that Scott is the one that created the fart sounds that we do, that I do on other sets to this day, and people look at me like I'm crazy.
I do too, and it's all Scott Foley. It's like rolling speed.
And then action. Like we did it all day, every day, just fart sounds all the time.
I'm curious if he did it. I like to think that he only did it on Scandal because he felt the most comfortable with us and he loved it, but I highly doubt it. I think he does that on every set.
I think he did it everywhere. Yeah, on Whiskey Cavalier, which was his really amazing show that they shot in Prague, right?
Yes, but Scott's the best. And Scott, were you a Felicity fan or a Dawson's Creek fan?
I wasn't.
People are Scott Foley Felicity fans.
Yeah, that's mostly what people like flip out over him.
Yeah, and how he's pitted against Fitz in this, how it's either like Olake or Olitz, I'm pretty sure is how Felicity goes between Scott Foley's character and Scott Speedman's character.
Oh, is it?
Like, I think Felicity was with both dudes, and so people are like, you can't like Scott Foley with Felicity.
With you
have to let Scott Speedman with Felicity or whatever.
Yo, remember when Carrie Russell cut her hair? And
biggest
it was a huge story, like all over like the news. It was like, Carrie Russell cut her hair.
People need to calm down. It was the biggest deal ever.
But Scott was also on Scrubs. He was on Dawson's Creek. And can I just say real quickly, like, he was in one of the greatest horror films that there are. In Scream 3, he plays Roman Bridger.
And what does he do in it?
He's the fucking lead. He's the director of the movie because there, you know, the Scream happens, the story that Neve Campbell gets terrorized by this person, and then that becomes sort of famous, and then they're making a movie about what happened to these characters, and Scott plays that director named Roman.
He's a big part?
Yeah. He's like one of the leads. And at the end, spoiler alert.
Just fast forward.
Yes. Scott ends up being Ghostface. He ends up being the killer in the mask at the end of this movie.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. And who's in this movie? Jenny McCarthy. Parker Posey is in this movie.
Love her.
Of course, Neve Campbell and David Arquette. But yes, Scream 3.
God, Scott Foley has such an impressive career.
Yeah.
But it's just really... we were so lucky. I mean, he's unbelievable. So she bumps into him. It's adorable. It's like a very cute,
so
kind of it's weird to see Olivia Pope, I feel like, in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Like the whole scene, I'm like, why is she doing normal people things? Like, she doesn't do normal people things.
We see her with coffee, but we never see her like in the coffee shop in line. So yeah,
right.
that was super cute.
So they meet and they're both lying through their teeth about what they do for a living.
She's like, I'm a tour guide. Yeah.
And he's like, I sell paper.
Yeah.
And then Abby gets a call from David, but they're on the case. And as they're studying David and why he could have been set up to murder this girl, we find that David's entire life, because of the Quinn Perkins case, has just, I mean, he's a fucking loser.
Oh, it's gone downhill. Poor guy.
He has no money. The
Poor
only
guy.
Money in his account was deposited for $5,000 from like his bubbala. From his grandma, Bubby.
My Momola.
He's just totally awful.
Yeah.
And what we see is the beginning of Huckleberry Quinn, because Quinn is really having a good time.
Yes!
She's having a good time cleaning. She's on the cleanup committee with Huck.
Which the cleanup means, like, if there's a dead body or, you know, a bunch of blood or things that they have to get rid of, that's the cleanup. And so we see Huck and Quinn for the first time doing this dirty work, like, fucked up. This is like hardcore. Like, they're literally moving a body to a different location and staging her.
And spreading blood and all this kind of stuff. I can remember the beginning of season 2, Shonda saying to me, we're going to play around with Quinn a little bit. And I was like, okay. And she was like, yeah, Quinn's going to be getting darker. And I was like, oh my God, what does that mean? Am I going to die? Am I not going to have a job? And so what it meant is that Huck is sort of taking Quinn under his wing, and I love the part where you're like, knock the lamp over,
Yeah.
I actually thought my acting was okay in this scene.
You are so good in this scene, and your excitement is infectious, man. It's so cute. But then you start to think, the audience is thinking, holy shit, she's really enjoying this. Because then Huck is looking for something on the girl's body, and Quinn is like, what are you doing? He said, we need more blood for spatter to, you know, spray the bedsheets and the walls. And then he hands a knife to Quinn, and she's like, what? And he's like, you want it to be part of cleanup, right? This is part of cleanup. And the way you take that knife,
and
man.
Then I go to close my eyes,
yes,
and you're
yes.
like, eyes open. I'm like, what for? I'm like, what? She's already
she's dead.
And you're like, not for her, for you. Like, in case I miss and like stab yes. my own fucking stomach.
Yeah. But then you stab the shit out of that body. Oh, it's so crazy.
I stab
it's
the
so
shit
crazy.
Out. Who directed this again? Wait, let me look at this.
Mark Tinker.
Oh, Tinker.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, so Tinker did direct a few episodes of Scandal.
Oh, yeah, because we did another episode where he directed one,
yeah,
right?
And yeah, and Matty Byrne wrote this episode. I love
yes.
that part. And then we have the line, you're a natural.
Ugh.
Which my so cast good. Gift to everybody that season.
Yes.
I like to get people gifts at the end of the season, and I went downtown and got really awesome kitchen knives for everybody, but I had each knife engraved on the blade and it said, you're a natural on them.
Yes. I have mine right over there.
You do?
Right next to my Michael Myers Halloween prototype mask.
You're so cute. I'm so, also, what the fuck kind of gift was I? Who am I?
Katie, you want to talk about gifts and about who you are? Listen, who was the crazy person that would give like dead bats in formaldehyde to his whole cast?
The best.
Cast?
I have it, and I have it in my. Oh, I take it out at Halloween, and my son is like, is that a real bat? I'm like, it is a real bat, bitch. It's in formaldehyde. It's from your Uncle Guillermo. It was a Scandal present for Halloween. He always got us the fucking creepiest ass Halloween presents.
That's so funny. But the first season or season two, I got everyone an actual toolbox, a red toolbox. Do you remember that?
I think the bat was first.
Maybe it was the bat first. And then I got maybe the bat was for Halloween.
Then I got a Thriller doll, like a Michael Jackson. Amazing
yeah,
piece. Yeah,
this sculptor, this artist made all these dolls of Michael Jackson when he turns into the werewolf at the end of Thriller. Yeah. Any crap.
We will be back with more after the break.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
So, meanwhile, in the White House, Cyrus is being iced out by Fitz, Everyone basically knows that Fitz knows about Defiance, and that's why he's drinking. He's drinking and he's becoming an alcoholic because everything he ever thought or knew about himself and the country he's running is not true. He did not deserve the presidency. He did not win the presidency. And everyone he has ever known or trusted or loved betrayed him.
Exactly.
And so he's drinking. Fitz is icing Cyrus out. He's not using Cyrus at all. He's not asking Cyrus's opinion about the hostages in Cafardi or what's it called?
Did you just say Cafardi?
Where are they?
Kashfargi?
Kashargi? Guys?
I think it's Cafardi. I like Cafardi.
We learn that Wendy's sleeping with a ton of men.
Huck discovers that on her, she's downloaded all these pictures, but they're of body parts of different men.
Including ding-dongs.
Ding-dongs, yes. And there's that moment with Abby,
Darby,
when she's looking at the ding-dong, and she's got like a half smile, half like a just devilish look on her face.
Her acting choices are phenomenal. Ew, and then Columbus calls it a hairy baby arm.
Yes.
I've never, is it called that in the gay community?
No. Ew. A hairy baby arm, no.
Not attractive.
No.
Does not and hairy, want to make me on. Go to BJ Town at all. Listen.
And that's one of my favorite destinations. And I don't even want to go there for that baby hairy arm. Shit.
I have to tell you, a lot of women mind it as a destination.
They do. One of my really close friends is like, I don't like it at all, but I'll do it because I know I kind of have to or whatever. And I'm like, really?
I've always found it very enjoyable, but.
Right?
You're welcome, Adam Shapiro.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So now you know a little bit about my sex life. You know a little bit about Guillermo Diaz's sex life. David Rosen gets arrested.
Yes.
Cyrus warns Melly that Fitz will find someone new if he can't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
Abby's super worried about David. And then Huck says someone keeps calling Wendy.
Yes. And we find out that that person...
What do we find out?
That the person calling Wendy is Jake.
Because Jake don't sell paper.
He don't sell no paper. He don't work. Remember Acme Paper Company?
Which is funny
because he says I sell paper, but then later on in like other seasons down the line.
That's all of our covers. That's B613 covers is the act that we do sell paper.
So what
does he really do? He's an officer in the fucking Pentagon.
Yes.
Is he an officer? Is that his title? I don't know.
Sure. I think so.
So Olivia is like, the fuck?
Yeah. Because she's already met him at the coffee shop. So she's like, wait, I knew he was lying about what he did. But now he's connected to this case that we're dealing with. So she's like, I'm going to go to this motherfucker's office and find out what's the tea.
Meanwhile, at the same time in the White House, Fitz keeps getting called into like the special room where they're like looking and trying to figure out what the hell they're going to do to save these four American hostages. And Kurt Fuller is the CIA director. Gee, what the hell do we all know Kurt Fuller from?
Let me tell you something. Funny you should ask.
Because that guy's famous and has had a long-ass career in 8 million things.
Yes, 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 yes. He is. Kurt Fuller plays Graydon Osborn.
Yeah.
This motherfucker, let me tell you something. The amount of credits, but like credits that people will recognize is remarkable. Let me rattle off a few right now.
Okay.
227. Wayne's World, The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Knight Rider, Newhart, The Gary Shandling Show, Ghostbusters Part 2, The Bonfire of the Vanities. Like, I could go on and on and on. This guy has been in everything.
And he's so under the radar.
But I love that. I couldn't believe all the stuff he's been in. And he's so great on the show.
I love that Jake won't stop asking Olivia out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Get a hint.
Yeah. I'm glad it wasn't a fucking Senator Puddin' Pop. I'm glad that we didn't see him in the picture. At least it's someone else.
I also would just like to say, because I talk so much shit about myself, Quinn was so mad cute in this episode. Like, I was like, I love my hair. I love my makeup. I love my clothes.
You were so super, super cute.
Because sometimes I'm like, oh, my God, Quinn, shut up. You are so annoying and get a different skirt. Like, what are you doing? David tries to fire OPA. You know, like, mm-hmm. David's like, I'm so done with you. Like, every single thing that I do with you guys leads me to trouble. I've been arrested. My career is ruined. And then I love this entire scene.
Which one?
Fitz and Melly and everybody at, this is so crazy. They're at the christening.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they have a christening and yeah. It's so cute and so loving. And Olivia and Fitz, yet again, they can't even be in a room together without just needing to
bone,
hook up.
To go to Bone Town.
To go to Bone Town.
But yo, how amazing was this scene in the church when they're both, because Olivia's the godmother, is the baby's godmother, and Fitz is the godfather.
Yeah.
And in one moment in the show, Melly tells Cyrus, really? Making Olivia the godmother or something like that? Because of course, now they have to be together in the same room.
Yeah.
But that scene when they're both, when Fitz and Olivia are holding the baby and they keep throwing looks at each other and the water is going on the baby's head. Oh, it's just so good.
Oh, and when they're in the little room and James makes a speech that's like, I hope she doesn't remember that the Japanese peonies never arrived.
Yeah, and Sai's like, but I remember. Sorry, good.
But he's like, but what I will remember is how she was surrounded by love. And then Olivia just like needs to get out of there. And Fitz is chasing her down a hallway.
Oh, she's stomping away like on the runway.
It's
a runway stomp.
Ridiculous. And then he grabs her arm, flings open the nearest door, which just happens to be like a breaker room or some
shit. Yeah, it looked like Huck's office, like with all those wires
so
and
cords
lights
and
buttons.
Bulbs and buttons. And and he just takes her from behind. That's what ends up happening. Oh, no, she flips around kind of right before the commercial break, but.
Yeah, but yo, that shit is racy.
Oh my God, I was like, I cannot believe this is network television.
Do you remember when he unzips the booty part of her dress? I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, she
and then
takes
pulls
out
down
underwear.
Her panties.
Oh my God, it was
that
so
was
hot and so angry. He's drunk probably and buzzing. Yeah. He's so fucking pissed about Defiance. It's been 10 months.
She slaps him. Yeah.
She slaps him and then they back up and give each other a little bit of space. And then she's like, what am I going to do? Will they? Won't they? Will they? Won't they? Will they? Won't they? And gentlemen, and they will. They will.
So
and they're
good.
Fucking making out so hard and he flips her around. And they honestly, it's like they can't ingest each other fast enough and just fuck.
They can't get enough of each other.
They cannot eat each other fast enough. It's so insane. And they're so good at it. And it's so believable. And it's so bizarre because we're friends with them in real life. And they're so like, their relationship is not like that.
At all.
It's so crazy that that's what was going on when they had to work. My God.
How about the moment when they leave the room, Katie?
Oh my God.
Like, yo.
It's the rudest fucking thing I've ever heard in my entire
life. You're an asshole. Fitz is such a dick to her because Olivia says to him, I'm sorry. And he turns around and says, don't worry, it won't happen again. And she's like, basically, she says, I'm not talking about the sex. I'm talking about Defiance. And he, what does he say? He's like,
this was a mistake because I can't control my erections around you, but it'll never happen again. And you're just like, he fucking hates her. And she feels like a slut. Like she feels like a used.
Yeah.
And she also feels so bad about Defiance.
Of
like she
course.
Also feels like. She did betray him and everything she stands for. I mean, it's a mess.
Yeah, when she says, "I'm," you know, Defiance was a mistake. And he says, that wasn't a mistake. That was betrayal.
Yeah,
and then he walks,
that's what he
so
says.
So good. So intense. Yeah.
And then I'm like, wow, he runs right from that scene right into the room where he's seeing where the SEAL team has trying to find the four American hostages.
Yes.
And he walks in and there's nobody there. They've been duped.
Right.
And we learn from Kurt Fuller, the CIA director, that we have a mole.
A mole. There's a mole, you guys. Not the ones with the hair on it. A mole.
No, we've got a mole, a big ass tattletale.
Yep.
In the Pentagon, who's leaking information and things are not all well and good in the Pentagon. Yep. Abby does an amazing apology scene to David Rosen, but he denies her. And then he finds a mysterious flash drive in his house and we realize it's Wendy's and she was downloading files when she was killed. And David takes that flash drive to Olivia and is like, you know, all of a sudden has a change of heart. Like, this isn't even about me anymore and how much you've fucked up my entire life, but this is about saving the American people.
Like we need to work together. Yeah, I love how Olivia says, this isn't about you. This is about justice and you dusting off that white hat. Like she knows he's ultimately such a good person and he just wants justice. And, you know,
that's his middle name. Like that's all he wants. Fitz is in the shower again. Tony Goldwyn. This is my favorite Fitz. What does that say about me?
Sad fits, sad sexy fits. Yes.
Sad, depressed, angry,
yeah.
apathetic.
Yeah.
Fitz is my favorite Fitz.
Yeah.
I like when he's so tortured and like he makes these faces of like just angst and like,
yeah.
I just think it's so hot and I just want to fix him and make him feel better and go to BJ Town.
Come on, Olivia Pope.
Come on, Olivia Pope. I think it's because he's apathetic. I think it's because he's like, oh, no. No, he's a dick. That's why I like
him. He's a dick. He's shady McShadyster to everybody in this episode. He's so bossy and shady to everybody.
But
of course,
it.
Like you said, it's because he knows the people closest to him betrayed him.
Yeah.
And of course, I think Olivia Pope is at the helm of that.
Yep.
Betrayal for him, that's the biggest one. That's the one he never thought Olivia would do something like this.
Yeah. Wait, there's a huge scene we didn't talk about. That's
the
best scene in the episode. Okay,
yes.
I think we should start to say winners of the episode. I was thinking about this in the shower last night.
Totally.
Winning scenes of this episode.
Hell
break
yeah.
Break room sex scene, unfucking believable. You're a natural, unfucking believable.
Fuck yeah.
And the other winning scene of this episode is Bellamy Young in the limo saying that fucking Cyrus is the one that pushed everybody to rig the election just to protect your own ass.
Yeah.
This slimy political woman who I love to watch more than anything in the world.
Her work in this fucking scene in that limo looking like fucking Jackie O in that amazing like peach or whatever color that dress was. It's very sort of reminiscent of Jackie O.
Kind of 1960s, the pearls. And she's just like, it was Cyrus. He was the one, Fitz. He was the one. He told everyone. He pushed Olivia, Verna.
And you're right. You're right to ice him out.
You're right to ice him out.
I agree with you.
And you can trust me. This bitch.
Bitch.
Oh, my God.
You better don't.
She is fucking playing this motherfucker.
Yes. And Fitz falls for it.
He kisses her hand.
Yes.
Or he kisses her hand. Does he kiss her hand?
He does.
And then he holds her hand. And then to seal the scene stealer of the episode, she turns into the window where he can't really see. And she puts this smirky smirk on her face.
Yes.
Where she's like,
I did it.
He's on my side. He's going to ice Cyrus out. And like, I'm back in his good graces. And I'm the only one out of all the goons that he trusts.
Oh,
it's amazing.
Such a snake. So good.
That's definitely the scene winner of the episode.
The other scene I think is also a winner, Katie, is the scene where David Rosen and Harrison have to go and sit in front of the new attorney general, right?
Josh Molina has more talent in his farts. What the hell? You know he didn't memorize that until the day of in the makeup trailer.
Oh, hell no. He memorized that shit in the makeup chair.
Yeah, because he's a poop.
Unbelievable.
But Harrison kind of coaches him before and is like, you don't have to answer that. You don't have to answer anything. Like, yes, you're arrested. I'm going to get you off. Don't answer shit. Stick with me. I'm Harrison. I'm like the slyest, coolest lawyer to have ever been born.
Yeah.
And before he knows it, Josh Molina's like up on the stand saying like, I used to be in this office. I used to be the district attorney. And yes, yeah, fine. I did murder this girl. Stabby stab. I love to stab.
And I stabbed her in my apartment and then I moved her to her apartment and stabs her some more there.
He does this entire
ironic monologue. Yes. And Harrison, I love how Harrison's reactions go from like, oh, fuck, shut the fuck up. Stop talking. I told her not to. Hell yeah. You fucking got it. You know what you're doing. I'm just going to sit back and let you do this. You could tell that the guy is not going to fucking go any further. He's the new attorney general, right? That guy.
Yes.
Ooh, and that actor's name is James Urbaniak. And Katie, did you recognize him from anything?
No, from what?
He is, me and Katie love Sex and the City as well. He plays Buster in Sex and the City. He's in one episode and he's the guy that has the foot fetish that works in the shoe store.
Oh,
and he keeps giving Charlotte all these free shoes. That's him.
Oh,
can you believe that?
So we got so many winners, so many scene stealers. Josh Molina kills, Melly kills. Tony Goldwyn's the hottest he's ever been. Is sad, depressed, angry, fucking Fitz. He's an alcoholic.
Quinn looks cute as fuck in her outfit.
Quinn looks cute as fuck. She's Stabby McStabberson's her first person, which really leads us into the thing. And we end the episode With Fitz in the shower, Melly joins him and he like yells at her to stop trying to give me a fucking blowjob, and it scares her.
Yeah.
And then he apologizes and then they make out and it's real good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that yelling, fucking yelly Fitz.
Scary.
Post bullet head Fitz is no joke. He's so mad.
Maybe it's a personality change.
Yeah, it
should
could
be. Should he be drinking this much when he's had that sort of injury?
Probably not.
And then the episode ends with Olivia walking into her home again. Mm-mm. And we're all surprised that Senator Puddin' Pop isn't there. And then she calls Jake Ballard, and Jake Ballard picks up. And as he's talking to her on the phone, we see his apartment. And he turns on screens in his apartment. Oof. And we realize that he's watching her.
That's some fucked up. That's some white people shit. That's that's some crazy shit, man. And he's just sitting back. I was watching the episode looking at it, and I almost wanted to turn away when after he hangs up with Olivia, and then he sits back with his beer, and Olivia kind of has a, does like an embarrassed moment, like, or like an excitement of like, oh my God, I'm going to go on a date.
Like, oh, I'm talking to a boy I kind of like a crush on a little bit. Like, I'm experimenting with like ever feeling feelings about a dude again.
Yeah, but I was like, how can he just sit there and watch her? What if she like farted? Like when he's, you know, she's going to be like, a big old fart. After being at OPA and dealing with the president, you know she'd be holding in that gas.
Also, like all the private moment things people do. Like,
yes.
Oh my God.
I don't want to see that.
Olivia Pope is perfect. She does not go to the bathroom.
No.
Like she is absolutely perfect.
But that also tells us the type of person Jake is, right? You're like, oh shit, this dude is no joke. Like he's dark. Stay tuned, y'all.
Stay tuned, y'all. We about to get into this Olake situation and what it means. Fun facts for this episode. Fun facts for your ass. Fun facts for you. This is episode 214, which aired on 214.
Love it.
This episode marks the first time that this is why we felt this way, Guillermo, that this is the first episode that marks the first time that Melly and Fitz kiss. Intimately, like in a non-public place.
Yeah, not just a peck, right?
This we see their like real juicy juice. And it's good. That's why you feel like for the first time ever that you understand the intimacy of their relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And the episode title, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
I love this. It's the NATO phonetic alphabet slang for WTF, which is what the fuck. You probably didn't need us to explain that, but...
which is what they say when the SEAL team is like, they're not there.
Yeah,
right? They go, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. Wait, wasn't Scott's show Whiskey Tango Cavalier?
Whiskey Cavalier was the name of his show.
What's that for?
I don't know, but it's a cool name.
We'll have to ask him when he comes on. Yo, how are these scandal? Tweets of the time, tweets of the time.
Papaya, eggplant. Ashley, branding and marketing strat. She says, Cyrus and the reporter's baby is too cute. OMG, so fresh. Oh, my uterus just fluttered. LOL. Hashtag
that
scandal.
That baby was cute. There was actually a bunch of babies in this episode. We have the baby that, that James and Cyrus adopt, but then we also have baby Teddy all over this episode because it seems to be the only place that Fitz is like enjoying himself. By the way, the baby they cast was a girl.
Oh, really?
And they kept cutting the baby girl's hair into a boy haircut.
What, was there a shortage of little boys? Like,
I have no idea why this little girl booked the part. I have no idea.
Good for her.
Good for her. We're going to have to ask Linda Lowy. Like,
okay. Tammy Frazier says, Natural Born Killers, starring Huck at Guillermo Diazio and introducing Quinn at Katie Kulo's.
Yeah.
Hashtag Huckleberry Quinn. Yes, we should do a remake of Natural Born Killers.
Yeah. Do you love that movie?
I don't love it. That's the type of movie I saw it once and that was enough. I appreciate it for what it was. I love Oliver Stone. It's not the type of film that I could watch over and over. It's too intense. It's too much.
It's Woody Harrelson and Courtney Love, right?
And Juliette Lewis.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At Lil Duval says, Scandal is really good. I watched the first season on the flight. Still ain't fucking with Dexter, though. So she could watch Scandal, but not Dexter. We like you. We dig that. We fucks with you.
And don't worry. Scandal is about to get way more Dexter. I mean, the more it is. The better Quinn gets at torturing and blood and killing and all of this. We get really Dextery at certain seasons of Scandal.
We do.
Y'all, the next episode is called Boom Goes the Dynamite. We love you. We have to go because Guillermo and I have a hot date with Darby Stanchfield.
Oh, shit. Yeah, we do.
And we're going to drink some whiskey or have some tea, but most likely whiskey. And we're going to chat it up.
But we love you guys. Thanks for listening.
We love you guys.
We have so much freaking fun doing this. Keep tuning in.
Time.
Keep tuning in, y'all. Thank you guys for joining us on Unpacking the Toolbox. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe, share with your friends, rate, or leave us a review.
Scandal is executive produced by Sandy Bailey, Alex Alche, Lauren Homan, Tyler Klang, and Gabrielle Collins. Our producer and editor is Vince DiGianni, with music by Chad Fisher.
Scandal is a production of ABC Signature, and you can follow along by rewatching Scandal on Hulu.
Unpacking the Toolbox is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app or anywhere you subscribe to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.